To the book of Job, and I want you to find chapter number 1. The book of Job, chapter number 1 tonight. I told you last evening that I felt the Lord had put in my heart to preach a couple of messages to you that I have not preached in a good long while. With some messages that really worked in my heart some years back, and I feel like the Lord stirred up in me again coming down here in hopes of being a blessing and encouragement to you in these nights together. The messages I preached some time back were on the subject of the God who does not make sense to you. And there will be times and seasons in your life when God doesn't make sense to you and you won't be able to figure Him out. And it'll be in those seasons of life when you will have to faith God out. Because if you haven't already learned this, you will. God is all about this business of building faith in our life. He's going to do whatever it takes to develop and grow faith in my life. And if God makes sense to me and I've got all the answers and I can understand it and I can see it, then it doesn't take any faith. But we walk by faith and not by sight. And so God's going to put us through seasons where we can't see it and we don't understand it and we don't know and we don't have it figured out and God's not making sense. And it's in those seasons that God will be growing and developing faith inside of us. I'm going to read to you tonight from Job 1 and also from Job 2. About Job's experience of God and how God did make sense in Job's experience. So I want to begin reading in Job chapter 1 and verse number 1. Job 1 and verse 1 says, "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil." Verse 6 says, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord." Look in chapter 2, verse 1. It begins with the word again. Again, here we go again. Chapter 2 would represent round 2 in Job's experience. 2 and 1 says, "Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, From whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, though thou movest me against him to destroy him without a cause." I'm going to stop reading there. I'm going to preach from Job's experience And this mysterious dialogue that is going on between God and Satan, this is a very interesting portion of Scripture because you won't find anything like this anywhere else in the Bible, where in heaven you have this dialogue going on between God and Satan. And in this dialogue, God and Satan are conversing. And the subject of their conversation is Brother Job. You don't know but what tonight that God and the devil may be talking in heaven. And you don't know but what God and the devil may be talking about you. I want to preach from these verses tonight on this little subject. It's a match made in heaven. It's a match, and by a match I mean a fight that is fixed in heaven. Let me just give you the story and the context, and then I want to say three things about Job's experience of God and this match that God makes for him in heaven. You paid attention, both chapters give us the same scene in heaven where Satan comes and presents himself before the Lord. The picture seems to be that God is his heavenly parole officer and he has come and reporting to his superior. And the Lord asks him where he's been and what he's been doing. And Satan's answer is that he has been going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down in it. Kind of reminds me of what Brother Peter taught us about the devil. Similar language from 1 Peter 5:8, where Peter reminds us that our adversary, the devil, is like a roaring lion who is walking about seeking whom he may devour. Similar language to Job, where Satan says he's been going to and fro in the earth, he's been walking about in it. Comparing that to Peter, we must assume, Brother Gerald, that he's been out seeking whom he may devour. If you haven't learned this about the devil, he's good at picking fights. But I want to tell you something about the devil. He's a big old bully. He likes picking fights that he knows he can win. Peter said he walketh about seeking whom he may devour, which suggests to us, Brother Earl, that he's looking for an easy mark. The suggestion is that there are some that he can devour and some that he can't. And he's looking for the ones that he can. Tell you something about the devil. He's a big old bully. And he loves to pick on people that he can bully around and push around and ultimately devour. But the Lord asked Satan a question in chapter 1 and 2. And the question, this interesting question is this: hast thou considered my servant Job? There's none like him in the earth. There's nobody like Job. He is a just man and he fears God. He's upright. He's perfect. He eschews evil. I have heard the book of Job preached all of my life since God saved me and put me in the church. I have heard this account of Job and his experience with the devil, and I have always heard it preached the same way every time that I have ever heard it. And that is that Satan was after Job. that Satan wanted this fight with Job. He wanted to get Job. He wanted to destroy Job. He wanted to devour Job. And I have always heard this account preached throughout my whole Christian life, that Job was the instigator of this fight, that Job was the one who was looking for this fight, that Job is the one that wanted this match. He wanted Job, and he is just asking God's permission to get it. Of course, it would be biblically accurate to preach Peter's experience with the devil in that light I just described. Because Peter in his pride and Peter in his weakness, Peter thinking that he stands, Peter resisting the Lord, Jesus said, "Son, Satan hath desired to have thee. He has asked permission for you that he may sift you as wheat." Satan does do that when he catches us vulnerable. When our hearts are lifted up in pride and we're at our weakest point. He'll pick on you and bully you around and look for a fight and seek to devour you. But that is not what is stated in Job's case. In fact, if you read and paid attention to chapter 1 and 2 in the reading that we shared tonight, you notice that right the opposite is what is happening in Job's experience. Did you notice it is not Satan that has instigated this fight? It is not Satan that has asked for this. He is not chomping at the bit to get to Job. God asks him, "Where have you been? What have you been doing?" He says, walking up and down, going to and fro in the earth. He's bullying, he's picking fights. And God asks Satan this question, "Hast thou considered my servant Job?" Now this is what I believe the Lord was saying to the devil, Brother Allen. I believe he said, "I've been noticing, O devil, that when you've been out there picking fights and bullying people around, I've been noticing how you've been ducking and dodging Job." I've noticed how you've been sidestepping Job. And God asked him, "Hast thou considered my servant Job?" It'd be like asking a 16-year-old boy if he has considered girls. And I'm going to prove it to you. Did you pay attention to verse 9, 10, and 11? That Satan has most assuredly considered Job, because he knows everything there is to know about him. Y'all notice he's got a profile. He's got a comprehensive, he has already profiled Job's life. He knows all about the hedges. He knows all about his family. Knows all about his blessings. Knows all about his business. He knows everything. He is the master of Jobology. Oh, he's considered Job. And the Lord knows that he's ducking and dodging Job. Let me tell you something about the devil. He don't want nothing to do with this Job business. He don't want nothing to do with it. And I'm going to prove it to you. Did you read the text with me? When the Lord presents Job and says, "What about Job? I've noticed you haven't climbed in the ring with him." What about taking a shot at Job? You want a shot at the title? Why don't you crawl in the ring with Job? And what is Satan's response? Is Satan's response just been waiting on permission? Oh, been looking forward to it. Ring the bell. Did you notice what Satan does? He immediately begins to make excuses. He immediately, in chapter 1 and 2, when God presents Job as a worthy opponent, Satan begins to argue with the Lord about it. And did you know what Satan said? It's quite interesting what his response, his excuses and arguments. He says to the Lord, I'm paraphrasing, of course, but this is what he says, Brother Buddy. If I get in the ring with Job, it ain't fair. You want me to climb in the ring with that fella and fight him? I don't want nothing to do with that. It ain't going to be no fair fight. So what Satan does is he asks the Lord for a handicap match. If you will handicap Job and, as it were, tie one arm behind his back and cripple him and tear down his hedges and defenses on his life where he is vulnerable and weak, I'll agree, but only if I get a handicap match. Some of you might be surprised to know that the devil's more afraid of you than you are of him. Some of you. And I want to tell you what is about to transpire in Job's life is going to happen because of a sovereign God who makes the match. Job did not ask for this, and I will assure you Satan did not ask for this. This was not in either of their plans, but God has arranged this fight. You ever thought about God as the heavenly fight promoter? You ever thought about God as the God who starts fights? The God who makes matches? Did you know that every battle that you have ever had in your life, that God has made that match for you? Every battle you've ever fought in your life has come to you from the throne of God. And so I want to say three things tonight, and I'll be done, about this match that is made in heaven by God. And I want to say, first of all, that in this match, Job's foe is undiscerned. When Job finds himself in this fight, the fight of his life, Job is handicapped in that his foe is undiscerned. By undiscerned, I mean that Job knows absolutely nothing about the deal with the devil. He knows nothing about this conversation in heaven between God and Satan. He knows nothing about this fight and this match and the terms of it. It is if God has taken Job and blindfolded him and thrown him in the ring and rang the bell without any explanations whatsoever. I want to tell you what God doesn't do. God doesn't get Job in the corner and coach him up. Does it put Job on the chair in the corner before they ring the bell and say, "You can do it, champ. Here's the strategy now. You're going to be going up against the devil, and here's where his weaknesses are, and you need to hit him there, and you need to hit him here, and this is what we're going to do now. We're going to go X amount of rounds and X amount of time in each round." God does not coach him up. God doesn't train him up. God doesn't explain what's about to happen. God just throws him in the ring and throws the devil in the ring and rings the bell. And Job is none the wiser. Job's going to have to fight this battle with a foe, an enemy that is undiscerned. He doesn't know anything about the devil. He does not see an unseen world. He does not hear a heavenly conversation. And when you read through the book of Job, you will find that this is his greatest fight. It is his confusion. It is his lack of understanding. You can number it. There are 14 times in the book of Job where Job asked the Lord this question, why? Why? If I only knew why. I don't understand why this happened to me. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what happened. Everything was going fine. Life was fine. Family was good. The business was good. Finances were good. Life was good. And now all of this, if I understood why. He wants explanations. But he's not going to get any. He's going to have to fight this fight with a foe who is undiscerned. And for every one of us here tonight, you don't know what's all happening in an unseen world. You don't know how many times this day the kingdom of darkness intersected with your life. Paul did say in Ephesians 6 that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but now we do wrestle. We do wrestle against principalities and powers. You may not have been conscious. You may not have been sensitive to it today, but this day, in some ways, you wrestled with demonic forces in your own life that you weren't even conscious to. Job is not aware of what is happening, but something's happening. And he wants to know why. Have you not found that in your battles and in your trials of life, you go to looking for the why God? When you're struggling and suffering, what is the first thought? What do you want to know more than anything else? And what seems to consume the majority of your prayers to God? It's that little question, why? You go to fighting that battle and you'll go to looking for that why God. And it won't be long, you'll go looking for that when God. When's this going to be over? When am I going to get out of this? And before it's done, you'll go looking for that where God do. Now God, where are you at in this? Because I sure can't find you. Fourteen times Job asks in this book why. The Lord never answers him once. Except, of course, at the end of the book where God answers Job's questions with his own, 101 of them to be exact. You better watch questioning the Lord too much. Number one, you're going to find that he's not going to answer you most of the time, especially when you want to know why. And number two, if you ain't careful and you persist, he'll go to asking you some questions. How many of you, when you were young, or perhaps with your own children, when your children were young and you told them to do something or the way you wanted something done and you gave some assignment and they asked you, well, why? That ever happened to y'all? Well, why? And the response was always what? Because I said so. And the response may have been more than just because I said so, but how dare you question me? I'm your parent. You're my child. I don't owe you an explanation. You're going to do what I told you to do because I told you to do it and I'm over you. I am your parent. I am the authority in your life. And how dare you insult me by questioning my authority over your life. You do it because I said so and because I'm your parent. I don't owe you an explanation. Do you understand? You can ask God why all you want to, but you do need to understand tonight that He does not owe you an explanation. And number two, you need to understand that if God gave you an explanation, you wouldn't understand it. Would not do you one ounce of good for God to explain Himself to you, because His ways are not our ways, nor His thoughts our thoughts. They go help you one bit in what you're going through to try to get into the mind and the head of the Godhead. You ain't going to be able to do it. God's not going to explain Himself and His ways to you, and you wouldn't understand it if He did. And furthermore, even if you did understand what you were going through from God's vantage point, wouldn't help you a bit. Do you think it would have helped Job's feelings to know what had actually happened? I mean, if God were to pull back the veil of an invisible world and let us see what all is happening around us, you'd be so weirded out and messed up, you'd probably have to go to the mental house. You can't handle the truth. You think Job could have handled the truth if God had told him what? It made it worse. His foe was undiscerned. I want you to see a second thing from this story tonight. I want you to see that not only was Job's foe undiscerned, but I want you to see that Job's fight was undeserved. What makes this so difficult in Job's experience is that his fight is undeserved. He does not deserve this. And the text makes a huge and repetitive deal about how Job doesn't deserve this. Chapter 1 and verse 1 begins by telling us what kind of man this is. He's just, he's upright, he fears God, he eschews evil. Stated again in chapter 1 and verse number 8. It's stated again in chapter 2, verse number 1 through 7. Over and over and over and over, it is stated in the book of Job that there's nobody else in the earth like this man. He's head and shoulders above the rest. One of the interesting things about a study of Job is how that everybody accused him of sin but God. Satan comes along, and his premise is to accuse Job of sin, of ill, selfish motives in his heart. And Satan says, oh, Job only serves you and he's only faithful and obeys you because you've blessed him, and he don't care about you. He doesn't care about the giver. All he cares about is the gifts, because he really loves and worships and serves himself, not you. And so Satan comes along as the accuser of the brethren, and he accuses Job of all manner of evil and sin. Then, of course, Job's four friends come along in the book. With friends like Job has, who needs enemies? Man, his four friends come along with the bedside manner of a drill sergeant, and they begin to grill him and drill him. And his four friends are real theologians, because all through the book, they preach four truths to Job over and over and over. And that is, Job, you need to understand, boy, that God is holy. And He is. And number two, Job, because God is holy, God punishes sin. And He does. And number three, they preached him, boy, they preached it at him all through the book. They said, now, not only is God holy and God punishes sin, Job, you getting punished. So number four has to be true. We know you got sin in your life, and you better confess it and come clean and quit playing the hypocrite and hiding it, because we know you've been sinning, boy. Of course, as far as friends, they got all the answers. They know everything there is to know about God. Got to watch them folks, you know. Got to watch them folks. Got to watch them church folks. Got to watch some of us preachers. to know everything there is to know about God. We got it all figured out. So they've got God figured out, and they've got Job figured out, and they come along, and of course they're doing what Satan's doing, and they're kicking and beating on Job, and oh, you know, Job's a terrible sinner. He's a terrible sinner. We know you've sinned. But God continues to have this testimony about Job throughout the book that there ain't nobody like him in the earth. He's just and he's perfect and he's upright and he fears God and he eschews evil. What do you think about old brother Job tonight? I mean, do you believe what Satan said about him? Do you believe what his friends said about him? Or do you believe what God said about him? And if you believe what God said about him tonight, then we must conclude that his fight is undeserved. You can hear Job crying through the book, "What have I done to deserve this? Where did I go wrong?" Read some of his prayers. He even asked the Lord in his prayer, "Just tell me what I did wrong. I'll repent. I'll confess. I'll get it right. Lord, I promise I'll do. Just tell me where I went wrong." Have you ever found yourself that way? You're going through things in life. If you've ever been through any kind of real trial, man, you'll start getting real transparent, searching your heart and confessing sin, won't know what you did wrong, where you went wrong, where you failed God. I have been through some seasons in my life, Brother Gerald, where it was bad enough. I confessed all the sins that I had done and even confessed sins that I hadn't done just in case. When I was a boy, I got a handful of whippings. I was raised by some people that knew how to do it right, so you didn't get a whole bunch of them. I've told parents today, you know, if you got to keep on whooping them and whooping them, you're probably not doing it right. It's because the folks that raised me knew how to do it right, and you didn't get many of them, praise God. But Brother Earl, most of them that I got, I deserved them. I deserved them. I had it coming. You know, if you get your tail tore up and you had it coming and you knew why and you knew you deserved it and you knew you'd messed up and you was getting the discipline and the punishment, Brother Kermit, that you deserve, you can just handle it. Well, I had it coming. But there was a time or two in my life that I got some whippings that I didn't deserve. I was just at the wrong place at the wrong time. Now, I didn't even do anything wrong. I wasn't party to it. But I got it like the rest of them. Because I don't know how it was with y'all growing up, but now the people that raised me, sometimes they got in whipping moods. Y'all's parents ever get in a whipping mood? I mean, just the spirit of whipping just came upon them and anointed them. And they got in the whipping mood and the whipping mode, and they had a philosophy when I was a boy when they got in the whipping mood. And the philosophy was, if one of you gets it, you all get it. And you said, "But I didn't do it. I wasn't a part of it. I didn't belong to this. It had nothing to do with me." They just didn't care. I mean, whipping, when they got in whipping mode, it was like Lay's potato chips. You don't just eat one. When they got in whipping mode, they didn't just beat one. I mean, once they got wound up in whipping mode, now whipping was coming whether you deserved it or not. And I remember there's a few times that I got some show enough whippings that I didn't deserve. And them hurt a lot worse than the ones I did deserve because I had it coming. But it sure was hard when I was getting them whoopings that I didn't deserve. Hadn't done nothing wrong, you know, and what am I getting whipped for? This ain't right. This is not fair. I don't deserve this. Boy, it makes it hurt a lot worse. Job's getting whooped on here. He's scratching his head, trying to figure out Brother George, what he did, where he went wrong. And this fight is undeserved. Really, Job is in this fight that he's in, not because of what he's done wrong. He's in this fight for one reason, because of what he's done right. You need to understand, you're going to go through some things in your life just because God knows you can. And you're going to go through some things and have some fights in your life that are not going to be about anything that you've done wrong, but it's going to be about what you've done right. I think that's why Brother Peter said in 1 Peter 2:20 that when we suffer for doing good, for doing right, for doing well, when we suffer for doing what's right, Brother Peter said, we need to patiently endure it. Just be patient and endure it, because you're going to get some whippings. You're going to suffer for what you've done right. I just came to tell y'all that life's not fair, and I came to tell you that God's not fair. Because if he was, we'd all be in hell tonight. This thing ain't about what's fair and what's deserved and not deserved. Because I'm going to tell you something about Brother Job. It ain't fair what's happening. It ain't fair for Job, but I'm going to tell you something tonight. It's even less fair for the devil. Because not only has this match been made in heaven, this match has been fixed in heaven as well. You need to understand something about that God that sits on that throne. He not only makes all your matches for you, he fixes them too. And the devil knows that he's fighting a fixed fight. And so I want to close tonight and say, not only was Job's foe undeserved and Job's fight undeserved, but I want you to see lastly that Job's faith was undisturbed. See, that's the whole issue here, is this man's faith. And you know how faith grows and develops? By fighting and stretching. And thank God in conclusion tonight that old Brother Job's faith was undisturbed. Now everything else in his life was disturbed. And Job lost everything that he had. You can read chapter number 1 where he loses his family and he loses his finances. And you can get into chapter 2 when he loses his health and his flesh. And Job loses everything that he has in his entire life except for his faith. And if you would have asked Brother Job after the end of chapter number 1, if you would have asked him, Brother Allen, how's that fight going for you? Job would have said, I'm getting whipped. I'm losing. I'm losing bad. I'm getting my tail whipped is what I'm getting. You think you're losing? Oh, Job, man, he's bloody. He's scraping himself down. He's buried all his kids and lost everything he ever had. Job said, well, I know I'm losing. I know I'm losing. Because I lost this and I lost that and I lost these and I lost them. I'm bound to be losing because I've lost everything. Awesome. But something real interesting, and I'll be done. Something real interesting happened in chapter 2. Something real interesting here. We go through this again, and it's round 2. It's round 2. Job, of course, man, he's getting whipped on bad. He's losing. Man, he lost round 1 bad. Do you ask him, he'll tell you. He'll tell you. But we're getting ready for round 2 in chapter number 2, and here comes Satan again. And he presents himself before the Lord again, and the Lord asks him the same question with a real smirky grin on his face. What you been doing, devil? Where you been? You think God don't know where he's been, what he's been doing? God made this fight. God made the match. God rang the bell. God knows what's been happening. And Satan comes slinking in with his hat in his hand. And the Lord said, where you been, what you been doing? And notice, the devil's real vague. He's real ambiguous. Oh, just been going to and fro, nerd, and walking up and down in it. Did you notice that Satan, he don't want to talk about this Job business? Did you notice when God asked him where he'd been, what he'd been doing, that Satan doesn't say, oh, you know, I've been letting Job have it. Kicked his tail real good, didn't I? What do you think about your boy now? No. There ain't none of that talk from the devil. The Lord said, where you been? What's been going on, devil? Oh, not much. Just going to and fro on the earth as usual, walking up and down, and you know, same old, same old. And then the Lord said, hast thou considered my servant Job? That's chapter 2. That comes after chapter 1 and all that bad stuff. You do understand what God is doing here, don't you? You do understand that God is taunting the devil. You do understand that God is talking smack. I mean, like a Florida Gator fan, God is just talking smack all up in the devil's face. He's trash talking him. What about Job? What about him? This is the Gullick paraphrase. He whipped your butt, didn't he, boy? See, if you'd asked Job what was going on, he'd said, I'm losing real bad. But when you listen to what God says in chapter 2, he looks at the devil and said, he's winning, ain't he, boy? I told you, he's winning. You want some more? Devil, you want some more? You want to get you some more of that? What about round 2? You like to get some more in round 2? What about Job? I want to tell some of you something tonight. Now, some of you that think you're losing, you may just need to come here and hear. You may be winning. Because old brother Job, he ain't losing. Somebody said, well, why didn't God stop the fight in chapter number 1? He lost all his children, lost all of his wealth, all of his possessions, his property, his marriage is falling apart. Everything's a why didn't God throw in the towel and stop this? I'll tell you why, because Job's winning. Why in the world would you throw in the towel with a man that's winning? You want some more, devil? Get you some of that. What about round 2? Devil starts making more excuses. Arguing with, no, you're going to have to tie both hands behind his back this time now if I'm going to go another round. Of course, that'll be fine. It ain't going to matter. This fight is fixed, see. And Job is winning. Probably been hard to make Job believe that, been hard to convince him of it, but he's winning. And we know that he's winning because this is what the fight's been all about to begin with. Satan said, if Job lost everything, that he would quit on God. He would quit. He would give up. He would cry uncle. He would turn his back on God and walk away. He would not persevere. He would not. But do you remember what the Lord told him? We read it in chapter 2. You remember what the Lord told the devil? He said, still he holdeth fast. You did your worst to him, and yet he's still hanging on. His faith was undisturbed. When I was a kid, we had them little blow-up punching bags that had the weight in the bottom. Y'all remember them little punching bags? I thought that was the coolest thing in the world, you know, because you could hit that punching bag, brother buddy, you know, you could hit it, kick it, body, slam it, judo, chop it, whatever you wanted to do. You'd knock that thing over, and what'd it do every time you knock it over? Brother Rusty, that thing just popped back. It didn't matter. Whatever you wanted to do to the bag, I mean, you just beat it to death. But just keep popping back up, and pop back up every time. Job's like that punching bag. Let me tell you something about all of God's people. They like Job. They like that punch. You kick them, beat them, knock them down. But they got a weight in the bottom of the bag called faith, and it's a faith that won't quit. It's a faith that'll never give up. It's a faith that'll never go back. It's a faith that will never turn on God. It is a faith that will persevere unto the end. It will. Because it's the weight in the body. And you can knock them down and you can kick them and beat them and slam them. But watch them. Watch them. You'll know where real faith is at. You'll know, because it don't matter what you do to it. It just keeps on popping back up. And you see that in Job, don't you? Don't you see it throughout Job? This faith in his life that is undisturbed. This faith, though fought, though tried, just keeps popping back up. And the devil knocks him down. And you see that faith in Job. You know, you've got these little confessions of faith that Job makes throughout the book. And I'm done. Where you see that faith just hanging on to God. Chapter 1, he loses everything. It's a terrible chapter. Remember, Satan said, if he loses everything, he will curse thee to thy face. He'll curse God. But look at Job's faith at the end of chapter number 1, where it said that he shaved his head, rent his mantle, fell down on the ground, and what did he do? Worshipped God. Now watch this. He blessed the Lord and said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Naked came I hither, naked shall I return. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed. Listen, Satan said he'll curse you. Job said, blessed. Oh, there's somebody cussing at the end of chapter 1, but it ain't Job. You better believe Satan's having a cussing fit when Job's over on the ground worshiping God and saying things like, blessed be the name of the Lord. That's that faith. You catch old Job over there in Job 13 and verse number 15. Look at that faith. Look at that faith bouncing back up. Satan been beating on him from chapter 2 to chapter 13. All of a sudden, the bag pops back up and said, though he slay me, yet will I trust. I don't care what God does to me. I'll trust in him. If he kills me, I'll trust in him. And Satan beats on him some more and kicks him, knocks him down. Then over in chapter 19, the bag pops up again, where Job said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. That he shall stand on the earth in the latter day. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God. He don't know much. He don't know much. But he said, this I know, my Redeemer. And you know how you get through all them things in life that you don't know, don't you? By hanging on to them things that you do know. Satan beats on him some more. And in chapter 23, he says over there about verse 8, he said, God's hiding from me. I can't find him nowhere. He said, I go forward and he ain't there. And I go backward and he ain't there. And I look for God on the left and I look for God on the right. And he's hiding from me and I cannot find God anywhere. But he said in chapter 3, 23 and verse 10, here comes that faith popping back up. But he knoweth the way that I take. I don't know where he's at, but he knows where I'm at. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Satan kicks and beats on him some more. And then over in chapter 42, about verse 42, faith comes popping back up again. And Job said, now I know that thou canst do all things, and no thought can be withholding from thee. Faith. Whatever you may be going through and whatever fight you may be fighting tonight, the whole issue is faith. And if you've got the real thing, if you're genuinely converted and you have the faith of Jesus Christ inside of you, the hallmark of it is this: it won't ever quit. I never will quit. And see, that's what the devil's banking on and betting on in every one of your lives tonight, is that you're going to quit. You're going to cry uncle and give up. He's betting on it. And I'm going to tell you something, if you do quit and give up, you make the devil look real good. And you proved him right that you weren't a true believer to begin with. But I'm going to tell you something, if you don't quit, you know who you make look real good? God. Because he said you wouldn't quit, because he put that faith inside of you. He makes and fixes every match that you've ever had. He put that faith down inside of your heart. And he knows this much about that faith he gave you. It ain't ever going to quit. You know, I've noticed this about some people. God just raised up some of his people to fight the devil. And for lack of a better term and better way of putting it, to give him hell before he gets there. God's got some warriors on this earth that he saved them and put faith inside of them, just to torment the devil. And go throughout their whole life making the devil look bad and making God look good. And I'm going to tell you something. Job's name is spelled J-O-B. We would normally pronounce that job. And I'm going to tell you something about old Job. It's a job being Job. But faith always gets the job done. Whatever you may be going through, faith is what's going to hold you. It's what's going to anchor you and tie you off to God. And so hang on to the things that you do know. Trust God when you can't trace Him. Faith Him out when you can't figure Him out.